Well, everybody, welcome to episode 313 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. At Legacy Realty, we combine the best of both worlds, the local expertise of over 75 agents in the Ankeny Metro, with the innovative power of LPT Realty, one of the fastest growing nationwide brokerages. Our agents have the flexibility to tailor their services to meet your needs, and they are equipped with advanced marketing strategies to help you achieve your goals. Looking to buy or sell? Our local agents know the Ankeny market inside and out, and they're here to guide you through every step of the process. Whether you're moving across town or across the country, we have the resources to help you succeed. Legacy Realty of Iowa, local expertise, national strength, your real estate advantage. All right, we're going to talk a lot of Ankeny Christian Academy baseball tonight. The Eagles posted a 15-11 record this season. To my left is the first-year head coach of the squad. He is Conrad Christensen. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. And to my right is a junior pitcher and infielder for the Eagles. He compiled a 6-5 record with a 2.23 ERA this season while batting .373 with three doubles and 21 RBIs. He's Lucas Erickson. Lucas, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, guys, congratulations on a great season. I'm just going to bounce some questions back and forth between the two of you. Coach, you took over the program a year ago after the team went 18-9 and reached a Class 1A sub-state final. But that squad graduated, you know, so many key players that you knew you were going to have a really young squad this season. You know, what kind of expectations did you have going in?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's just always that vacuum after you lose seniors and Eli. And I knew I really enjoyed Lucas over here and some of the others that played. And we just didn't really know what to expect. I mean, I kind of looking at the schedule, we figured at least 500 and then peak at the right time, and you always want to go on a run. But kind of watching them from afar in spring, there was much that I would like with Eli playing, but there's talent. Me and Chase Williams, the assistant, he had a lot of these guys at JV last year, and I'm like, man, these guys can play. And a story I like to tell is, you know, Ken Landon Curtis going in, we thought would be our ace, and Erickson over here, and him did some lessons, and you know, so both of them kind of competing, and right away, I saw that Lucas was like, okay, we may have a couple aces here. I may be one of the leaders of this team, and took a big jump, and expectations, we always want to work hard and get better. We have a tough schedule. So record doesn't really bother me. Obviously, like to see some success, but man, we always want to go on a run and get to that first state visit, and then you know championship. So truthfully, once we saw that there was talent, you know, we're like, we got to work hard, but our expectations are to go to state.
And Lucas, Coach Christensen became the third different head coach in the last three seasons. You know, which could be a lot to deal with for some programs. But since Coach was already on the staff, you know, did that make the transition this year for you a little easier?
Oh, yeah, that definitely did. I mean, I've been on Coach for a while. We used to be neighbors, and he used to give me lessons even back when I was, like, 10 or 12. So I was really comfortable with him coming in, and I knew that we could do something special this year.
And, Coach, I assume when you took over, you know, that you probably didn't feel like you had to come in and reinvent the wheel, just, you know, since this program had already been a traditionally successful one. Did you just want to come in and try to maintain the status quo? I mean, you probably weren't looking to make a lot of changes, were you?
No. You know, Craig did such a great job of creating a culture. Great culture, and Coach Johnson was part of the program forever. Learned so much from him, and you know he was still a guy I picked his brain sometimes through the season. Our strategy again is just to take that next step and come together as a team and get better and better. So there's a few things you take from say DMAC and some other things that I've learned along the way and help us get to that next level.
Well, Lucas, your team got off to a 5-7 start this season, and your teammate Landon Curtis told me for the prep of the week feature on Monday that the team was just kind of getting into a rhythm. And Landon was one of the team's most experienced players, and I know he missed some games in the middle of the season. And you guys probably missed him, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, we definitely missed him. There was a few times throughout the middle of the season when he was gone, but we were kind of like, man, this game could have been so much different if we had Landon. And I think it just kind of speaks to like, the testament of the other players that we just kept persevering throughout the entire year. And how we didn't get down when we lost him. We were just like, we're going to keep doing our best we can and keep going until we get him back.
Well, along those same lines, Coach, you know, do you think that period of time when Landon was out may have been a blessing in disguise? Because you probably were able to, you know, get some more playing time for a few of your younger players, didn't you?
Yeah, you know, you always, and I truly believe, you know, whether it be Eli or Malachi or in this case Landon, no players are replaceable. It's about the team. But it was pretty close with Landon being kind of irreplaceable. And Lucas's point, the Grandview game in particular right there, and if you had Curtis in the middle of that lineup, does that make a difference? But you're exactly right. Everybody stepped up. We got into a little survival mode. We did win our bluegrass games, and going into that doubleheader with Des Moines Christian and Grandview, my plan was to save Lucas to a bluegrass game later in the week in front of the whole team. He's like, no, I want one of the big teams, coach. And I'm like, all right, we'll make it work. And right there, I'm like, that's that Malachi and Eli. That I don't want the easy way. I don't want a stat builder. I want the big boys. And that kind of leadership definitely was, you saw it. So it's a playoff run, how important that is. So, yeah, it was ended up being beneficial for the team. We missed Landon a lot. But as I told him yesterday at our team banquet, he was such a leader when he wasn't able to play. He was so engaged. And that's really kind of why he's one of those cooling VPs of this team, because of what he did when he couldn't play.
Well, you guys kind of turned your season around on June 13th with a 13-3 win at Murray. That victory sparked a six-game winning streak over the next 11 days where your team averaged 14 runs per game. You know, Lucas, what do you think was the key to your success during that stretch? Was it just a matter of all the guys clicking at the same time?
Yeah, I think that was part of it. I think it was just us believing that we could hit anyone and that they weren't going to be able to throw anyone at us that we hadn't seen at that point in the season, because we'd never seen Maxton before. And we'd seen a few other good pitchers, so we were kind of just like, if we can get some hits, we can manufacture runs, and that'll give us a good chance to have the rest of the year.
Well, your team then closed out the regular season with losses in three of your last four games, and you did allow a total of 37 runs in those three losses. Coach, did you have any concerns going into the postseason because of that, or did you feel like the team was ready to play its best ball?
I really felt really good. When we did lose those games, we obviously weren't pitching Erickson like against West Valley and Bedford. A very good Bedford team, but we played really well. Crosby, kind of our number three, pitched really well. Mm-hmm. We were right there. And at Lucas's point, we were hitting everybody and anybody. The championship game with Murray was odd, because we had a playoff game like a day later, 2 days later. So, when we had Erickson versus their ace Moore, we were winning. So we could have ridden that out. I think we could have won that one. But felt really, really good. The draw, it was a little tough, and you saw maybe a Southeast one sitting there. But I thought we really had a chance to go on a big run.
Yeah, Lucas, I'm sure you anxiously awaited the release of your sub-state bracket as well. And when it finally came out, what did you think of your team's draw? Did you feel like you guys could go on a deep run again?
Oh, yeah, for sure. When we first saw that bracket, my dad actually texted me. It's kind of like, I think you guys have a chance, because we knew that Southeast Warren game that we played earlier in the year when we got beat pretty badly, and we knew that it was just a matter of having a few errors in the field, and if we could clean that up, we'd have a chance to beat them, which we obviously did. So,
Coach, you kind of felt like things maybe set up pretty well for this team with that draw?
I did. Southeast Warren, I think, was definitely the second best team as it ended up in that grouping. But Baxter, we felt confident in. We teamed Ulster before, and we were playing so well. We really felt we could hit anybody, and with Erickson pitching and Landon, we really felt we could beat anybody.
Well, yeah, Lucas, your team opened district play with a 9-2 win over Melcher Dallas. You had two hits and four RBIs in that win. You also teamed up with Landon on a three-hitter, and you guys combined for 9 strikeouts. Now, you had a few of your teammates, making their first postseason start, in that game. Do you think they handled that pressure pretty well?
Oh, yeah, I think that everyone played really well that game, and that they didn't really seem nervous to me. They just seemed like it was another game to them, and they were just going to go out and make plays, and that's what they did.
Well, you guys then returned to Southeast Warren for that game that you mentioned earlier. That was the semifinal round. And, of course, you did play the host Warhawks, who had posted a 13-2 win at your place a month earlier. I was fortunate enough to be at that game, and that was one of the best games I've seen all year. You guys took an early 1-0 lead, and then they tied it. Then you guys scored 2 runs in the eighth, and it looked like you were going to win it. And, of course, then they came back and got 2 more on the bottom of the eighth. And you had to get out of a jam there just, with Lucas to extend the game. And then you guys scored 2 more in the ninth to win it. Coach, I remember thinking during that game how calm you looked. You clearly felt like your team belonged in that game and was ready for that moment, didn't you?
Well, a couple of things. Eli, my son, said whenever you were out of one of our games, number one, he'd play well and we'd play well. So right there when I saw it, I knew we had a great year. Number two, if you looked at my heart rate monitor, it wasn't quite as calm as my face, shown. I thought maybe without coaching Eli, I would be calmer. But, unfortunately, my heart rate seems like it's 15 kids long versus one. But, no, the way we started that game and the way we carried ourselves, it's they got a grit. They got confidence. They kind of got that it factor, And before we were clicking, I thought maybe it was delusional. But, no, they do the work, and they have it. And, we start the game with, a freshman, Anthony, making a diving catch. That got us going. And our left fielder, another freshman, making a diving catch, Brody, and it was home. And I really felt we were going to win that thing. And even when they hit that two-run home run, you know, we had talked, and, you know, it's funny because, Coach, I talked to Lucas about the potential of bringing him back before things kind of went sour. And Chase had kind of said at the end of the game, I just feel this is Erickson's game. Just write Erickson. I said, well, let's go with the plan. And honestly, when Curtis got struggled a little bit there, and then walked a couple. So give it to Erickson. And, yeah, I think it was what, first and second, and nobody out. And we practiced out all year. We knew they were going to try to run the third. And I had never seen it work before. It worked against us one time. In 6 years, I've never seen it work. And Erickson made an amazing play, and he do or die. He got that force out of third, and then up the fence catch by Fincham at first base, foul territory, and then we had him. The other spirit just broke, and yeah, very special game. I think if I look back, you know, obviously beating Coon Rapids, number one ranked team last year, you could argue that's maybe a bigger win in our history, but for playoffs, I don't think we ever had a bigger win in our playoff history, so that was awesome.
Yeah, Lucas, you pitched a total of 8 1/3 innings in that game. I lost my place here on my list of questions. Let me find it here. Just 1 second. Apologize for that. As I was saying, Lucas, you pitched a total of 8 1/3 innings in that game. You allowed just one earned run on 6 hits while racking up 10 strikeouts. And like Coach mentioned, you pitched 6 1/3 innings, and then you guys brought in Landon to try to close it out, but he did struggle. He was only able to get a couple outs, and then you had to return to the mound. You ended up pitching 2 more innings, and it seemed like you never skipped a beat. So did you have to warm up again, or was your arm still loaded and ready to go?
Oh, no, my arm was feeling great that game, and when I came back in, it was just like throw strikes and trying to get out.
Well, that win advanced you guys then to the district final at Linville Sully, where you met Baxter. And after Lucas's performance against the Southeast Warren, you knew you'd have to rely on Landon and possibly Tyler Davis to handle the pitching duties. But Landon came out and just threw a masterpiece. He tossed a one-hitter and had 10 strikeouts in a 6-0 victory. And I know he told me after that Southeast Warren game that he would be better on the mound the next time. And he also told me for the prep of the week that, you know, he prefers starting over coming on in relief. And, Coach, I know you had confidence in him, but you probably didn't expect a performance like that, did you?
Yeah, you know, not exactly. I was a confident young man. He's done a lot of work, and I believe in him. But I know I had Tyler, to your point, in our pocket there. But, yeah, he was amazing, you know. And, again, defense was great. But anytime, you know, they had a threat, he shut it down with a strikeout or we had a great catch. Brady Butler in left field, a diving catch to save the run, which kind of changes everything. I think it's 2-0 us at the time, or 1-0, and that gets him right back in. Yeah, Landon was amazing, and yeah, to your point, you start learning these guys. You know, they unlike an Eli, who loved to do Eli to Tyler when they're in the playoff run, and that worked so well. Mm-hmm. I think they want their game, you know. So it kind of, again, things they got to work in the offseason. Maybe that carries over, maybe it doesn't. But it sure seems to be the type that can go 90, 110 pitches and almost get stronger as the game goes on.
Lucas, was that the best game that you've ever seen Landon pitch? Could you tell right away that he was really locked in?
Oh yeah, I could tell after that first inning when, I mean, he was just dealing. He had all those guys off balance from the start, and I could just tell this game would be well, very well. And as soon as we scored, I just kind of saw it that he was like, this game's over. I'm not going to let him score anymore. So.
Well, Coach, another key to that win was the bottom third of your lineup, which went a combined 7-for-12 with 3 RBIs. Those three guys, Braylee Miller, Tyson Fincham, and Connor Crosby, really had a strong postseason overall. You know, they were one of the keys to your success, weren't they?
Yeah, it is. I think they call them fearless. In fact, Fincham was one of the most improved players this year, and Braylee Miller won our intensity award, and Crosby's just Crosby, one of the more unlucky from a stat standpoint hitters, but one that had a huge RBI against Southeast Warren as well. They were amazing and carried over in against Linville as well, and to be able to do that at the bottom of the lineup, we really never had that. You know, that's where Eli would say he felt was great, as he loved his senior year team, but this team had more ceiling because he's never had a situation where you couldn't tell top and bottom, middle of the order.
Well, that one win earned you guys another shot at defending state champion Linville Sully in the sub-state final at Newton. The Hawks had ended your season each of the previous 2 years, and unfortunately they did it again after your team jumped out to a 2-0 lead in the second inning. Linville responded with 3 runs in the third, and they eventually posted a 6-2 win. Now, Lucas had another strong game on the mound. He needed just 78 pitches to go the distance. You allowed one earned run on 6 hits. But, Coach, you guys committed 3 errors, and I guess they ended up being pretty costly, didn't they?
Yeah, you know, I guess Linville didn't commit any. And that's Linville baseball. They're solid. Hate to admit it sometimes, but yeah, they do a great job of that. And we had been perfect up to that point, and just a couple errors. I think we get one earned run. Do what you said. Mm-hmm. You know, so it could have been 2-1 if we would have won. We didn't add on like you need to against a Madison. But we definitely weren't in awe of them like we had been in the past. So it felt a lot like last year where we were right there. And yeah, we take that with us in the off season and give us a little more of an edge maybe. And when you think about maybe working harder or taking some time off, maybe just think of that if you're a player and what can be next year for us.
And Lucas, you still have to be pretty proud of what this team accomplished this season. You know, you guys got farther than maybe some people expected.
Oh yeah, I'm really proud of the guys. I mean, honestly, I didn't expect our defense to be this good coming into the season because we had a lot of question marks with eight starting seniors last year leaving. And we kind of like, we don't know really who fills the void. And all of them played amazing even throughout the entire postseason. And even after a few of those errors and that sub sticking, I still felt like that if I just let them put the ball in play, my guys would make plays.
All right, listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. Revive opened in 2017, is located on the south side of Ankeny near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. We're talking some Ankeny Christian Academy baseball with head coach Conrad Christensen and junior Lucas Erickson. Well, of course, the Class 1A state tournament is being held this week at Carroll, and the semifinal games are underway this afternoon as we speak. I'm sure you guys followed the quarterfinal games on Monday, and there were certainly some surprises as both top-seeded Remsen St. Mary's and number 2 Linville Sully both went down to defeat. So, Coach, I guess if the tournament wasn't wide open before, it certainly is now, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, we talked a little before recording here, and yeah, definitely a surprise with Remsen. We had kind of seen that we maybe would have been that 8 seed at Hillcrest Academy, so we could have been right there. And then, yeah, Linville, we didn't feel they were as good as they had been, but it was a surprise to lose there the way they did. Not familiar with East Buchanan, but again, I feel like we could be right up there with them. So wide open, and I think you're going to see more and more of that. So just a lot of talent in 1A.
And Lucas, I don't know if it made you feel any better last year after losing a 1-0 game, you know, to Linville in 9 innings in the sub-state final to see them go on to be the state champions. But did you think they had a chance to go do it again, and were you hoping that they would defend their title?
I thought they had a chance, but I knew they'd have to play better than they played against us. So I wasn't exactly surprised to see that they lost, but I was kind of surprised to see they lost in the first round.
Well, of the four teams that are left, Martinsdale St. Mary's is the only team that I'm at all familiar with. I used to cover them a little bit when I was with the Des Moines Register, and they've always had a pretty strong program. And I believe they're really the only team left from Central Iowa. You know, do you like their chances to win it now, Coach?
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, let's see, we got a tough schedule, and I try to schedule whoever we can because we don't have a lot of conference games. So you got Bedford, you got Linville. We were supposed to play Coon Rapids, but it was canceled. They were highly ranked all year. And then I got a call from the Martinsdale coach, hey, we'd like to be at a game. We almost did. And looking back, that would have been another juggernaut, obviously, that we would have faced. Yeah, I wish them the best because I'm a little bit familiar with them. They're kind of the area. And just kind of following them a little bit from afar with scores and everything all year. And they got a pretty tough conference. You know, they hit Southeast 1 a couple times. I think they split. So, I like their chances. I think they have, it seems like, a lot of offense. And they got some solid pitching, too. So I could see them winning it.
Yeah, I remember they always had a lot of offense back, you know, in those days when I covered them. Well, let's look a little bit ahead to next year now. Lucas, you guys will return pretty much your entire squad. You know, are you going to have some pretty high expectations going into next year?
Yeah, I think we will, and I think we'll just remain confident that, I mean, we showed that we could play with Linville and we could play with all those other teams that we had lost Barron to throughout the rest of the year. So we'll just come in knowing that you got to work harder, but we can win games if we just put the ball in play and go through.
Well, Coach, I know Coach Crosby of the ACA softball team told me that he's got some good 8th graders coming into the program next year, as well as a couple of transfers. Do you know if you'll have any additions to the squad that will be able to help you next year?
Yeah, there's a lot of good 8th grade guys as well. A lot of the new trip, travel ball, and maybe come with some experience. Truthfully, I mean, we had our banquet and spoke with every player individually and a couple of things, and I was how proud we are of them, but every spot's open, you know, so... whether you're like a team leader like this, who we expect X, Y, and Z next year, you know, it's wide open. I don't want to name the kid, but there was another 1A school that we ran into in the playoffs last year that had an amazing freshman pitcher that took us down to the wire. And he actually went quite a bit backwards last year if you look at his stats. So it's not just because you get a year older, you're going to get better. Mm-hmm. So everything's wide open. That being said, you know, you look at the 14, 15 guys we had on varsity at the end. Not only starters, but we got some really good reserves that are going to fight for playing time. So I like what we have. I wouldn't expect that a youngster would be able to kind of crack that varsity 14-15, but it's wide open. So it can be a very, hopefully, benefit you'll work hard in the offseason, and then spring can be a very competitive spring for us.
And Lucas, you obviously had a very successful season both on the mound and at the plate. You know, where do you think you still need to make some improvements, you know, of your own for your game going into next year?
I think that, like, generally you can always get better, but to me especially this offseason, I'm going to be working on my hitting because end of that season, a little bit of a slump, especially the postseason, I didn't really have any good at-bats or any hits. So definitely going to work on that and just work on putting the ball in play and keep throwing strikes.
And, Coach, I'm sure you feel like, you know, with everybody on the team coming back, another year older, another year of maturity, maybe they will get better. But you just kind of touched on that. You said that there's no guarantee if that's going to happen, right?
Correct. Now, we got a lot of optional things we've provided, workouts, things like that, fall, winter, spring, a bunch of stuff they can do, but it's got to be on them to take that initiative. And, you know, I told the team that they could be like what Lucas and Landon did by working together. It's amazing how they both improved significantly. So, we hope to play a lot of really good games next year, a lot of doubleheaders. There's a ton of opportunity. We don't just need 9-10 guys. We'd like to have 14-15 guys contribute. So get into the playoff run, and maybe, you know, a guy like Lucas maybe slumps a little bit at the plate, and he puts so much into the pitching. Maybe we got Scott the bench and spark us. So, very excited. I mean, it's kind of hard that Wednesday – Thursday of the week we got beat, kind of like what I do for myself now. So we start coming up with off-season workouts and rethinking the next year's schedule. But yeah, a lot of work can be done, and these guys are very engaged, and we see what it did for them. These guys didn't get any playing time really last year, but they did 1 year. I can't wait to see for a good off-season how they look next year.
Well, I asked Landon for the prep of the week, you know, if he was thinking about his plans for beyond next year, and Lucas will finish up with this question. You know, have you thought about playing in college as well? Yeah.
Yeah, I have. I've had a few colleges that have reached out to me and asked me if I'd be willing to play in college and, like, went to their camps and stuff. But, I mean, honestly, it's just whatever God has planned for my life. So I'll see what he takes me, and then both playing in college and I'm playing out.
Well, congratulations again to both of you on an outstanding season. I appreciate that you guys coming today and taking the time to talk some Eagle baseball.
Thanks for having us.
You bet. All right, you've been listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Legacy Realty of Iowa and Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa. When it comes to real estate, experience matters. At Legacy Realty, we pride ourselves on having one of the largest and most experienced teams in Ankeny, with over 75 agents strong. As one of the top brokerages in the metro, our local agents bring unparalleled knowledge of the market to help you make the best real decisions for your home sale or purchase. Whether you're buying your first home, upgrading, or looking to sell, our team is ready to provide expert guidance every step of the way. Backed by the national strength of LPT Realty, we offer cutting-edge tools and marketing strategies to ensure your success. Legacy Realty of Iowa, your trusted partner for buying or selling in Central Iowa. Well, I thank my guests again for coming in today on this brutally hot day. We had Ankeny Christian Academy baseball coach Conrad Christensen and junior pitcher Lucas Erickson. I appreciate the time for both of those gentlemen. And I'm not sure if we'll be back with another podcast next week or not. It is a dead week for all of the high school athletic teams. So if we can come up with something that isn't high school related, maybe we might have a podcast. And beyond that, I'm not sure in the first couple of weeks in August, because obviously there isn't going to be much going on. So I'm not exactly sure when our next podcast will be. But we'll certainly put out that information on social media. So thanks again for listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.